Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike.
Hello, everybody. It's Wednesday, May 28th. Tonight's version of the Bill and Bill Show, and as we get closer to season 7, we'll go back to the Sam Crow radio show. But for right now, we're just winging away here. If you guys have read my Facebook page, there's I post whatever I find out about the Suns, everybody read. And hope you enjoy it. Give me some good, good stuff going on there. And then the other thing, somebody asked me about George Carlin and the American Dream the other day. I said I'd play it tonight, so let me play that right now. Get out of the way. Be back.
He's on the precipice of another major crisis. On July 1st, 2014.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions, forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want you.
Starting in early tonight.
A system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. That Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the back. Life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
You order the code red.
I did the job. Did you order the code?
You're goddamn right I did!
Yeah, they're screwing with me, so I'll be... I got some stuff going here.
I used to hate pooping in public. You know the feeling. Nothing is worse than stinking up the shared toilet at work. Or the toilet at a party. Or your lover's apartment.
Have you seen
What do you want to discuss now? My favorite color?
Girl, the 6 a.m. flight was the first one off the base?
Yes.
There wasn't a flight that left 7 hours earlier and landed at Andrews Air Force Base at 2 a.m.
Lieutenant, I think we've covered this, haven't we?
Your Honor, these are the Tower Chief's logs for both Guantanamo Bay and Andrews Air Force Base. Guantanamo log lists no flight that left at 11 p.m. and the Andrews log lists no flight that landed at 2 a.m. I'd like to admit them as defense exhibits Alpha and Bravo.
I don't understand. Since the flight would never exist.
We believe it did, sir. Defense will be calling Airman Cecil O'Malley and Airman Anthony Rodriguez. They were working the ground crew at Andrews at 2 a.m. on the 7th.
Your Honor, these men weren't on the list.
Rebuttal witnesses, Your Honor, are called specifically to refute testimony offered under direct examination.
I'll allow the witnesses.
This is ridiculous. Colonel, a moment ago, check the tower logs, for Christ's sake.
We'll get to the airmen in just a minute, sir. A moment ago, you said that you ordered Lieutenant Kendrick to tell his men that Santiago wasn't to be taken.
That's right.
And Lieutenant Kendrick was clear on what you wanted?
Crystal.
Any chance Lieutenant Kendrick ignored the order?
Ignored the order?
Any chance he forgot about it?
No.
Any chance Lieutenant Kendrick left your office and said, the old man is wrong?
No.
When Lieutenant Kendrick spoke to the platoon and ordered them not to touch Santiago, any chance they ignored him?
You ever served in an infantry unit, son?
Yes, sir.
Ever served in a forward area?
Yes, sir.
Ever put your life in another man's hands? Asked him to put his life in yours?
Yes, sir.
We follow orders, son. We follow orders or people die. It's that simple. Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Clear.
Christopher. Well, I have just one more question before I call Airman O'Malley and Airman Rodriguez. If you gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, and your orders are always followed, then why would Santiago be in danger? Why would it be necessary to transfer him off the base?
Santiago was a substandard Marine. He was being transferred.
Not what you said. You said he was being transferred because he was in danger.
That's correct.
You said he was in danger. I said grave danger. You said, is there
any... I recall what I said.
I can have the court reporter read back to you.
I know what I said. I don't have to have it read back to me like I'm...
Why did you orders? Colonel?
Sometimes men take matters into their own hands.
No, sir. You made it clear just a moment ago that your men never take matters in their own hands. Your men follow orders or people die. So Santiago shouldn't have been in any danger at all, should he have, Colonel?
You snotty little bastard.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, why did he have to be transferred? Colonel? Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
Object! And when you went bad, you cut these guys loose! Your Honor, you have more than just trying to phone a transfer!
Your Honor, you doctored the logbook!
There, Captain!
You coerced the doctor!
Consider yourself a contempt!
Colonel Jackson, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled to.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives, and my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible, to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide, and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the code red?
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did!
Please, the court, I suggest the members be dismissed so that we can move to an immediate Article 39A session. The witness has rights.
Captain Ross.
Jack?
The members of the corporate will retire to an anteroom until further instructed.
All right!
What the hell is this? Colonel, what's going on? I did my job, I do it again. I'm gonna get on a plane and go on back to my base.
You're not going anywhere, Colonel. MPs, guard the Colonel.
Yes, sir.
Captain Ross?
What the hell is this?
Colonel Jetman, you have the right to remain silent. Any statement?
I'm being charged with a crime.
Trial by court-martial.
Is that what this is?
Or administrative.
I'm being charged with a crime?
Right to consult with a lawyer prior to any further questions.
This is funny.
This lawyer may be a civilian
lawyer
appointed by you at your own expense.
I'm gonna rip the eyes out of your head and prison your dead skull! You fucked with the wrong Marine!
Colonel Jessup, you understand these rights as I've just read them to you.
You have no idea how to defend a nation. All you did was weaken a country today, Cappy. That's all you did. You put people's lives in danger. Sweet dreams, son.
Don't call me son. I'm a lawyer and an officer in the United States Navy. And you're under arrest, you son of a bitch. The witness is excused.
Okay, I got him at bay now, so let's see what happens. What's up?
Nothing. I know the first time I called, I didn't even get through. I got, like, disconnected immediately. I was like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
The second time, I got through, so.
Okay. Yeah, just kinds of crazy, goofy shit going on here with these guys.
Yeah, well, it's 43 degrees here and freezing. We went from...
Really?
We went from humidity yesterday to today. It feels like fall. It's been cloudy, gray, drizzling, and the temperatures are horrible. It's cold.
You want the weather report here?
No, I don't want to hear about 80 degrees and 70 degrees of southerly wind.
Actually, it's 85.
Nice.
I'm watching the sun gonna about an hour from going down over the hill.
Oh, it's been dark here for a while. We lose daylight around about 8 o'clock, quarter past
mm-hmm.
8, and then like in the middle of the summer, from like July to August, it'll go to about quarter of 9. But you know, the sun rises here first, so it leaves first.
Really?
Well, yeah, on the East Coast, the sun comes up over here, so therefore, you know, it leaves my sight before it leaves yours.
Yeah, it's just sometimes I see things before I, like, sometimes I'll catch myself in the morning when I'm riding to work.
Yeah.
At zero dark 30.
Yeah.
But I can see the red coming off from the east.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing like when the sun sets over here. We can see it off in the far distance. But it's weird because when I lived out in the Michigan area, just being like centrally located, the summertime, it didn't get dark till like 9:30, quarter of 10. And it used to mess me up from being raised out here where, you know, the sun's long gone. At that time, but yeah, that's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a couple of requests. Tomorrow we're going to interview, I think it's a woman who's running to be a judge.
Really? Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
And I want everybody to remember Juan Lopez up there in San Mateo County, and I think she's running for judgeship in the same county.
Okay.
Got a message about it today, but I didn't get the info, so I'm waiting for that.
Yeah, well, George Thompson served his papers, I believe, to the police department today to get his phone back.
Yeah, he was supposed to call in here today, but we'll see. I think he got his feelings a little hurt the other day when I told him I was done.
Yeah. You were done?
Well, it was going. Yeah, I was ending the show yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm like, huh? Yeah. Well, you know, I haven't heard anything from him yet today, except briefly this morning. But he was given, I guess, the proper documentation to serve. Get this, the department that had his phone is a couple of towns away, but he was going up there with Cop Lock and one of the local papers, and they were going to be filming it live and writing down stuff for an article, so I'm interested in seeing, you know, what he has to say, et cetera, et cetera. And then we got Hernandez over here. Kills me. Former New England Patriot, and now they're trying to charge him with two other murders that happened in 2012 besides the one he's up for that just recently happened. Mm-hmm. And what people don't understand about Mr. Hernandez is that they automatically think he was some ghetto case, you know, that had a rough childhood, grew up in poverty, and was given the world with the New England Patriots. And what they're sadly mistaken about is he was raised in a predominantly rich town with a rich family and grew up not needing much of nothing. And the way he acts, it's like I think he thought that money could get him out of anything. And Massachusetts is out to make an example of him because too many sports players, they've got money. And they get out of many things. O.J. Simpson, for example.
Yeah, Ray Lewis, too.
Yep. But they're out to crucify him because the defense team tried to woo a Boston judge today because the proceedings before today all happened in Fall River at the courthouse. That's where he was arraigned. He was down there three or four times. But today, for these two new charges, he was in Boston. And the defense team tried to say that he wouldn't get an impartial jury because, you know, he's at the center of the media because that's a big thing down here. And the judge slammed them. He was like, you know, not in this state. You know, he'll get his fair trial, blah, 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 with the jury, et cetera, et cetera. And he didn't want to hear it. He was like full speed ahead to the next date to present evidence. If it's solid enough, then they're going to go forward with formally charging him, I guess. But it just, you know, how can somebody who was, you know, raised predominantly with a good amount of money go to the New England Patriots and make buco bucks?
Stoop.
Just throw it all away like that.
Well,
you know?
Because right there, it's I'm the untouchable.
Yeah, that's the attitude he has exactly. And you know, the real sad part with some of the story got out today that he killed or supposedly, because you're guilty until proven innocent, possibly killed two people because one person bumped into him and spilt his drink. Now that's fucked up. That's thug. That's, you know, want to be a badass and try to get away with it. And everything is coming to light, and they're gonna slam him. If Massachusetts had the death penalty, he'd be put up on capital charges. I can almost guarantee it because, like I said, they're making a big example of him, and they're just going full force. They're not caring about money, media, football, or any of all of the above. They're just looking at him like, you know, possible person who killed a couple of people, and they're not going to care, and nor do they want to care. you know, because they're trying to set the standard. And, you know, under those circumstances, if they find all the evidence and he did do all that, then he deserves what he gets, because that's just ridiculous. It's not like they pulled him out of a haystack and, you know, they're thinking he might have. They've got some pretty good solid evidence, so it's just a waste, is, you know, the way I view it. And all the kids that looked up to him and, you know, the children's hospitals that he visited and everything else, it makes you really think about some of these sports players being around, you know, some of the children and sick people and everything else, you know, because, I mean, you got people like Michael Vick with all the dogs and stuff, you know, and then there was a player that was down in the Florida area, I forgot his name, and he got out of some type of murder charge with the vehicular homicide or some shit like that. But they do. They get it. When you have money, you get away with
money. Well, that guy in Dallas.
Yeah.
But the parents, or the mother, forgave him because he, quote-unquote, found God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God has nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
I understand that. You know,
private payoff behind it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well,
I just look at it this way. You know, if people are guilty for doing something, it doesn't matter if you found God after the fact, before the fact, in the middle of the fact. That has nothing to do with it, and it shouldn't even be brought up. Because if someone actually believed in God, they wouldn't take a life.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, there are certain times for it. Military, that's one thing.
Right.
You know.
Protecting yourself if somebody comes.
Exactly.
You, you know, but just.
But, you know, they're.
Filling a drink. That, you know. It makes me sick to think that, you know, you bumped into him and he goes outside and shoots two people. And they've got some type of, I don't know if it's an audio recording, something that was caught on film, but that's what they're talking about, of him saying, you know, I shot the motherfucker in the head. He got what he deserved, and something about his drink being spilt. So, you know, that's what they're bringing.
It's a goddamn drink. All you do is say, excuse me, I'm sorry, I will buy you another, or can I take your clothes to the cleaners? You know what I mean?
Being he was, you know.
Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. He's in a bar like, listen, if he's in a bar like that, ain't going to happen. You know why? Big man on campus.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's
like they arrested. Sorry, go ahead.
No, he was in a Boston bar, and that's what it really boils down to. Where he should have been the better person and said, "Hey, it's okay. I'm Mr. Hernandez, and I don't mind having a drink spilt on me. You know, money is no option. I can buy another pair of pants." You know, he acted like a street thug, and you know, it's bullshit. You know.
Well, that's like the actor to the Shield that killed his wife. They arrested him here in Chicago.
Yeah.
I don't know what the reason was behind it, but I'm like, are you serious? I don't care how bad a situation is. Walk the fuck away from it.
Yeah. You know, unless you can't get out of it, you know. I'm definitely not an advocate for violence, you know. I mean, but if you need to protect yourself, that's one thing. But just for sheer stupidity and shits and giggles, because that's really what it's boiling down to, is shits and giggles, it's not right. Because, you know, where you may feel you have the right in taking somebody's life or spilling a drink, that person, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, could be a father. Could be an uncle, could be a grandfather, it's somebody's son, you know, and who are you to decide when their last day is to breathe, you know?
Well, that's the whole thing. Nobody was put on this earth to be the judge, jury, and the maker, bottom line.
Right.
You know, and I know that there are circumstances that come up. And, you know, if it's a, if you're protecting yourself upon violence coming to you, that's one thing. But over a drink, over an argument, whatever the case may be, that's the most pathetic, poor excuse of bullshit right there.
Yep. And the actual murder they charged him with here over the past couple of months, that was something to do with his girlfriend's ex something or other. Again, another stupid reason, you know, everything they're saying, it boils down to like jealousy type deal. So, you know, it's ridiculous. And I know the New England Patriots, when it first broke loose and they had rock solid evidence with the one that they charged him with a couple of months ago versus these other two in 2012, they pulled their contract, you know, and right. When you do that, you're talking about some big money that they give you up front.
Right.
Yeah, they took all that back, and they actually, what they said, depending on, you know, it's going to boil down to Kraft and the donors, et cetera, but they're actually looking at charging him for the money that he used to get the money back.
Right.
So, you know, everybody has pretty much turned their back on the situation at hand, and that sets a standard right there that, you know, the New England Patriots as an organization have viewed, you know, his ex intolerable, and to go after him for the money that they gave him, because usually you get a bonus. You know, you'll play for us for the next 2 years, 5 years, whatever. Here's this money up front, and then you're going to get X amount of dollars every year after that. They want that bonus money, and it's big bucks, big bucks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like with the Vic situation with the dogs. Now,
yeah,
mind you, even though he's out of prison and back doing what he does, which just floors the hell out of me. Okay, so say, Stacy, if you were incarcerated and you had dogs at home or wherever you were going to be paroled to, okay? Now, here comes what they do now with inmates coming back out. If there are dogs on the premises, they have to know ahead of time. They want to make sure they're not fighting dogs. You have to sign papers in order for a parolee to come to that residence if there are dogs.
Right.
And
well,
if you don't, the parolee can't be there.
Massachusetts just broke groundbreaking, whatever you want to call it. But they put a woman from Taunton, Massachusetts today in prison for a year and a half for neglect of her dog, because the dog was found damn near starved to death and on death's door. And they made an example of her with the law that was passed that, you know, you can do time if you neglect your animals. Yeah, they should have canned her for a year and a half. She's gone. She's gone away.
Well, they should. Do you realize how many animals are abused on a daily basis? And they go, who's there to fight for them? Because they're animals. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. That's like, I mean, we've got my mom's dog. But
I think all that money that was spent to do that, to pass that legislation, should have been used
to that.
To convict pedophiles.
Yeah.
That big prison you guys got sitting there in fucking downstate Illinois that's empty, that we're paying to fucking run because it's empty to keep it up, that's what they're out to put them fuckers, all of them.
Yeah, that's the Thompson Prison. I know it was named after Governor Thompson at the time. And
they
They
got an empty prison that they're maintaining with nobody in it. Is that what you just said?
Oh, yeah, and it was named after a governor here at the time, which was Governor Thompson.
It's not the only one.
Now, no, it's not the only one. There's one up, like, going towards, you know, Wisconsin, and that's where they wanted to put the Guantanamo detainees, but the state here said, hell no, we don't want them here. Okay, so what is the purpose on multiple prisons that are in this state that are kept clean and everything is functioning fine and they are empty because why? Who the fuck knows?
They're planning on using them for something. But the time I was out in Michigan, it was Governor England, and they literally stopped him from building prisons. He was building prisons in every, like, county, because that's federal money, depending on, you
right.
know, the prison. And he was maintaining the state quite well. There wasn't a pothole on any highway or road, but the federals turned around and told him, no more. You know, because he put up these prisons in these little hick towns with populations of 1,200, and then you get a prison that has like 2,000-3,000 inmates that's 3 football fields long, and, you know, that's part of the census, that's part of the tax dollars that pour back in. And, you
right.
know, he was notorious for doing that and just building, and people literally would walk around Michigan during the time I lived there. You don't want to fuck with anything because they're prison happy. You know, they'll throw you in prison for anything. And it was pretty much true. You know, if you blew your nose the wrong way, they'd find a reason to lock you up for 3 months. Because they'd,
right.
make,
well,
they'd make mass money off of it.
Right. Well, let's put it this way. For the brand new empty prison systems that are here in this state, tax dollars are still keeping the upkeep. Even though they're empty.
Yeah. Makes me think, like, they'll use them for something else, like, you know, concentration
camps.
Martial
law?
Yeah, or, yeah, exactly. Anything like that, you know, because there's got to be a reason that they're maintaining it and it's empty, you know? There has to be a reason for that. And, of course, you know.
These things have been empty for years.
Such a waste of money.
Waste of money, waste of space. Do something with them, because all the prison systems in every goddamn state, it's not just here, are over...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say are overcrowded. So use the empty motherfuckers and do something. You know, either like, okay, for prisons that are, or county jails that are excessively run down or whatever, shift these guys, women, whatever, over into these new facilities. They're supposed to be state-of-the-art. Okay, well, do something with them. Or tear the goddamn things down. They went and bought the land, built the damn things. They're brand new. Never even been used, but, yep, you know, we're making sure that the grass is cut and everything every day. The fuck is that?
We've got more people because we're smaller, you know, Massachusetts and Rhode Island. They're two very small states, and
right.
we've got a problem with overpopulation. We've got more people locked up for pot distribution than we do for pedophiling, and that's the truth. There's more people locked up for wheeling and dealing marijuana, which they need to, you know, they're in the process of revamping that law itself, than we do for child molesters. And, you know, even Eunice would tell you, It's whacked. How do you do that? You know,
I know.
It
takes place here. I mean, if you sit there and look into, you know, the county jail or into the prison systems, there's far and few pedophiles compared to drug runner, whatever the fuck you want to call these guys that get up in their shit, you know what I mean? That gets them locked up. And, you know, it's like, are you serious? You know, so where are these guys going? Because there's a town, a ways from me, okay, but you have to understand, it's a small little town, and it's 200-something registered sex offenders in the small town, about the size of what I'm in, okay?
Yeah.
200-something registered sex offenders, okay? These are men and women,
yeah.
not just men, okay? And here's a small little town, small little community, and here's these children. How the fuck can these kids grow up safe? Knowing that it's about every 2 to 5 doors down is a registered sex offender.
How do you in this area give a maximum sentence to somebody like that of 5 years? You do a 2 to 5 to that over here. And you
That's
get
insane.
Caught you get caught with a pound of pot and you, like, go away for a long time. And it just, if they revamp the laws to put pedophiles away for 25 to life,
right.
The prison would be filled. They'd be, you know, filled with them. They'd be off the streets because 90% of them that come out of prison do it again. You know?
Of course. I don't care how you monitor these fuckers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's behind my house, second apartment building behind my house, okay, there's a registered sex offender for under the age of 18. And in front of that building is a scheduled high school bus stop, pickup.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's another thing here, too. It's like if you look at the registry list, a lot of them live in school zones or across from schools and stuff.
And they're not supposed to.
Exactly. But you know what? Here's the thing with that. The state's got to come out and inspect their apartment, you know, to wherever they live. So they're approving these people to live where, you know, there's a bunch of kids. And that's another thing that blows my mind.
I know. It's like, okay, let's sweep this under carpet. But if you're running, say, bricks of cocaine or whatever, okay, you're going to do 10 years of life. But a registered sex offender can live inside a school zone. Wrong.
Yep.
Oh, well, this person isn't doing anything. How the fuck do you know?
Exactly.
Are you inside that person's house monitoring them 24/7? No, you are not. It makes me sick.
Yep.
How these assholes get away with their crap. And, you know, how many of them move and they don't re-register? And then they get lost in what they call the cracks. And who knows where the fuck they end up at.
Exactly.
But then all of a sudden there's a missing kid.
So they're falling through the cracks is what you mean.
Yeah. Thank you.
Today we law, you know, for women and, you know, civil rights and many different things, you know, Maya Angelou, she passed away. And, you know, if anybody's got any opportunity to read some of the things she wrote, you know, I'm not going to get into politics or nationalities or anything like that, that people like throw bullshit around. Just her as a person and some of her works, you know, that
was unbelievable.
Yeah. In my eyes, you know, I mean, everybody grows old, they have to die. But in my eyes, you know, women and, you know, people who need people like her to advocate for them, you know, they lost a major, major player today.
Oh, I know. Now, let's look at it this way. We're going to go back to the sex offenders. Years ago, my youngest daughter, she was, you know, a young teenager at the time, okay? And next door to me, there's like a one flat type apartment building, and there was a registered sex offender that was moved into one of the units there. And it was just by chance, I popped up on the computer and pulled up, you know, for the area here and caught. There was one next door. And Halloween was coming around. And that's why I wanted to double check. I wanted to make sure my kid wasn't going to go someplace where there was a pedophile. So I caught the guy outside one day, and I went right up to him. I said, "You come anywhere near my daughter, my property line, it'll be your worst mistake. Stay the fuck away from me. Stay the fuck away from my kid." And he moved, like, within a month after that. I said, "I know who the fuck you are."
Yeah, unfortunately, they're everywhere.
I know. And the unfortunate thing is it's not just strangers, because there are ones that are deep in families as well, you know? And that's the hardest thing. It doesn't matter how you raise your children to understand the concept of what is out there. The hardest thing is if there's families where there's a fucked up one that, like, there was a guy that I chased off my property from doing a job, okay, because finding out that he molested his niece when she was younger and then ended up when she was older, had a baby by him. I said, you sick motherfucker. Get the fuck off my property. You know, I mean,
you know,
I won't.
I read the other day, I was reading some stuff, and believe it or not, there is a high percentage rate of women and young women who are raped and become pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, and that's you know, that's a real touchy subject, I would imagine. But the statistics that I was reading was the fact of how the children who are born through rape, the mothers don't bond.
No, I know.
There's this estranged thing. So, you know, you got a child who was conceived out of rape. You've chosen to raise him, and there's a lack of love and responsibility. So, you know, if the gene pool's already got a dent in it and you don't, you know, you're taking the responsibility of having the child but not loving
right.
the child, you know, you're just creating another monster.
There
you know,
is
that,
a small, there is a small percent of women that have a child through a rape that
oh,
love
yeah.
that
it
child,
is,
no matter what.
Right.
Right. And
there's
I understand that.
Bad. But
right.
the study
the majority.
That doing, yeah, just shows a lot of the, you know, more of the bad
right.
than the good. And, you know,
right.
and the biggest thing the mothers were saying was that within seeing the child, it brings back everything because they look like, you know,
the person.
Right, characteristics. And it's like they some women had openly said, how can I love, you know, a child that looks like, the, you know, the person who raped me? And again, I say to that, you know, the waiting list for adoption is through the roof. I mean, if you don't believe in abortion and you still want to have this child and you have doubts, you know, there's adoption. You know, there's
right.
many different things, but it's like, you know, I don't know, that's a very, that's a touchy subject. And again, not too many people want to touch base on that stuff.
Well, let's put it this way, you know.
Well,
let me
enlighten both of you. There's a guy in Texas today, okay, using a sniper rifle, he hit a target at 2.7 miles.
Okay.
Broke his 2013 record. So I'm sure if we kept this QT and called this guy, paid his airfare,
he'd have a fun day.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says, I really don't think anything is impossible at this point.
Right.
Yeah. That's funny because my British 303, which was handed down, it was my uncle's to my dad, to me. And that thing, the first time that I had gotten it cleaned up and I first learned how to hunt, you know, I was told about how far the bullets to that can travel, you know, because it was a sniper rifle. And they're only allowed in the upper portion of Michigan because the length that the bullet can go. And, you know, when you first begin to hunt and you get educated on different things, you don't have a clue. You know, you think all bullets do the same thing. But, no, it's like, you know, and the reason why they only okay it in the upper portion of Michigan is because it's very rural, very woods. It's black bear country, you know. The majority of the hunting is done up there. But that's the reason why, because them depending on what type of rifle you've got, those things, they go far if you know what you're doing, you know.
Well, let me tell you this. I got handed a rifle. We boot camp.
Yeah.
We go to the range. I'm in the prone position shooting at 500 yards. And I'm dinging the shit out of it. All of a sudden, I get kicked in the fucking back of the foot and told to cut out the Kentucky windage and do it right.
Yeah.
My mistake was saying, I am doing it right. I'm hitting the target.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because when my daughter was at BCT and they first put them out on the rifle range and stuff, my daughter was hitting dead on the target, and her sergeant made her stand up, and he's like, you know, he said to her, he's like, have you ever shot a gun before? And she's like, nope. But, you know, I had her very, very young just messing around with, I have a little 22, my father used to call it his squirrel hunter, you know, and she was a dead ringer then, and she took those skills to basic training, and, like, they were all over her. And she just, yeah, nope, blah, blah, blah. But she got all kinds of marksmanship, I think they call it, a medal and something else because, yeah, her shooting is dead on. And she practices still where she lives. You know, she doesn't own any weapons, but, you know, I wouldn't put one in her hand and try to do her wrong because she knows what she's doing. And
yeah, Bill made that same mistake. He bought his wife Kathy a gun.
Yeah. It is. It's a you know, it's the first time you fire a any type of gun. It's from the first time you pull that trigger, you're going to know whether it's for you or it's not for you because...
Oh, it's adrenaline. You know what
I mean? Well, it's the thing is that you've got in your hand something that can, you know, stop pretty much anything, wound anything, you know, in its track. And you immediately, when you feel the power of it after you release the trigger, it comes to your mind, you know, either, you know, this is something you want to do or you get real, like, your thoughts flood your head and you're like, no, I don't want to do this. You know, it's a powerful thing. And, you know, it's one of our rights. It's one of our freedoms. But, you know, you have to take into consideration what you're being responsible for.
Well, I was started at a young age, you know, and I'll tell you what, there's not something I can't shoot or throw that I wouldn't get a good aim on. Does it bother me? No.
I refuse to hunt out here, though, because, you know, predominantly the two states that I dwell in is very, very tiny, and people just don't use their common sense in these spots. You got hunters stacked on top of hunters, stacked on top of hunters, and it's like when I moved back here, I was like, I'm not going hunting here. And my father, when I was a kid and he'd take off for 2 weeks during deer season, which was usually close to Thanksgiving time, he took off to Vermont and New Hampshire. He got out-of-state licenses and tags and stuff, and he paid good money for it. But he was the same way. He's like, I'm not hunting in Massachusetts or Rhode Island. He's like, it's not worth the aggravation. And you're going back now, like 40 years ago, and it's still the same way now with more and more crazy people. So, you know, it is.
Well, I never hunted. Right. I mean, I never hunted, but, you know, at one point having 12 guns in the house didn't bother me at all, knowing how to use them. And, you know, I always thought, you know, because people would, aren't you afraid of somebody breaking into your house? You live on the main street. I said, nope.
That's how my son, I don't know if I ever shared this story with you guys, but I was 6.5 months pregnant, sitting in a deer stand in Michigan, and it was lightly snowing, and I'm in all my gear, just sitting still, a brand new Remington 12 gauge, and I'm just sitting there thinking of names for my son, and that's where he got his name, Gage Hunter, because his name is spelt with a U, as in Gage of a Barrel, G-A-U-G-E, because at the time, the name was quite popular, and everybody was spelling it G-A-G-E, and then I threw the Hunter part into it because I was hunting when I thought of the name, so that's where his name, and I actually wanted on the birth certificate, which his right. father shot it down. I wanted 12, spelled T-W-E-L-V-E, 12-gauge Hunter, as his name. And his dad didn't go for that. But I thought that would be cool because you wouldn't have to call him 12. We could predominantly call him Gage, but, you know. People that I tell
that's
that
awesome,
story to, they get a kick out of it, you know. But that's the God honest truth, you know. That's how my son got his name.
Thank God it wasn't 30-odd-6.
Well,
trying to explain that one.
Well, check this out. He was due on April 10th,
okay?
And we had a 410, you know, which is a small little Peapod, but we had already, like I said, decided his name, and we were actually hoping that he would come on 410 just because we had a 410, but he came on 411, so he was a day late, but, you know, the story still is what it is.
That's okay, you know, it's a great name for him. He did a good job.
He went to see Godzilla.
That new movie, how was he talking about when he got home?
He hasn't stopped, but that's besides the point.
That's okay.
Yeah. Phil, my son wants me to learn Japanese so I can take him to Japan and we can go find out where Godzilla is at. And this has been an ongoing thing since he's been like 4 years old. Because he knows, he has all the black and white movies. He knows every character, scene, line, you name it. He has them all stacked in his head like books. And anything Godzilla, that kid just tunes you out and tunes. He was watching black and whites tonight, the old Godzilla movies. I'm hearing Godzilla and Gamma.
Yeah, those are funny.
And I wasn't even stopping to think. I'm like, where the hell is that coming from? And I'm like, oh, that's upstairs with him. I'm like, okay.
That's okay. What was it? Megan and I were talking about a room that she saw in this, like, really up-class resort. Okay. It was all decorated in Batman. Okay. And she's like a Batman dork anyways, and it was just funny because she's like, at first I thought, oh, I want to go to that resort and see this room, you know, not knowing that it was in Thailand. I don't think they're going there.
I mean, overseas in like Thailand, Japan, China, they're big into, like, all the comic book heroes and the video games.
I know.
They have live TV demonstrations of people playing video games. I mean, it's as popular over there on the TV as, like, American football is over here.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, I've seen some of that stuff on the Internet. I've seen some of it, like, on the local TV channels and stuff. And it just blows my mind, you know, that they can make video gaming a big to-do. And we're talking about young people who win these video games, and they get paid hefty sums of money to do nothing but play video games. And
games.
And,
right.
Yeah. It just – I don't understand that logic because I'm not a gamer.
I'm not a gamer. You know, the first time I went on a Wii system with my nephew, I hit the puppy. You know, it was like some kind of, I don't know, like a swore game, you know.
Yeah, well, they,
and I'm
they
waving this
up.
Thing around, and the puppy got in the way. It's like smacked her in the face. I'm like, that's it, I'm done. I don't know what the heck I'm doing.
Well, they opened up a place here, and it's called Combat Something or Other. But it's like you literally like go inside. They've got an old mill that they're using, but you go inside and you actually are like playing the video game live with people, and you've got the their laser guns and different things like that. And I mean, the people that go in there, you got to see them dressed up. They look like they just come out of the military. They take this stuff so seriously, and I just I'm like, there's more to invest in than an hour's worth of running around a building playing laser tag all day. You know, I just,
I know.
I don't understand that, but.
I mean, there's people that are such serious gamers. It's like, there is a life outside of this box. Hello.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Well, I just seen a post, actually, I just seen a post by Richard Montoya, the director of Water and Power, and he stopped to go charge his phone because he's going to, I think it's UCLA, talk
yeah.
about the movie, and he happened to, it was a game center, and he said he literally bumped into the guy to say, hey, and the guy never looked up from the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
That's most of the children nowadays. They're on the game system, and you can be standing right in front of them calling their name, and they're, like, totally tuning you out.
Yeah, it's like you're non-existent.
Yeah, because basically they came the other day, and sometimes, you know, guys, for whatever reason, can't get to something on the job they're doing. So what they do is, everybody has a phone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So what they're doing is, if they catch them on the phone, they're confiscating the phones.
Huh.
Well, the government's not paying you to fucking play games on your phone.
No, if they, yeah.
Well, but they'll play games on the computer under the government crap.
Nope, can't do that no more. Everything is monitored. And whatever you do on that computer gets looked at. And if you go to a website that's not authorized, and I've literally seen this happen, walk and take people right off their job and right out the front to the gate, boom, you're done.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, I can understand if it's their, like, if you're on a job site and it's their computer system. I can understand that. But they take it a little bit too far. If you're on your own personal computer and they're like, you can't do this, well, that's your own property. It's not their property.
No, you can't be on your personal computer at work.
Well, no, I understand that, but some places, they're monitoring even if you're at home.
Well, that's been going on for a long time.
But my thing is, I
think it's just ridiculous. You can walk into the local Dunkin' Donuts and every other employee is sending a text message or Facebook in or, you know, Instagram or whatever, and with the cell phone stuff, there's a time and a place for it, and it's not when you're in the work environment. You know, there's plenty of time to reach out and touch somebody on your lunch break, after work, whatever. And people are just like, the problem is that the phones have become so electronically smart. People have their whole life's ingredients on these phones. You know, their emails, their social media, family pictures, you know, you name it. People's addresses, phone numbers, it's like it should be categorized as a secret document, you know, because, I mean, some people with their jobs, or if they have to travel for jobs, it's different
you
places.
You sign a media release.
You sign,
basically what happens is I signed one. Whatever you do on that computer gets looked at, period.
Right.
Well, let's look at it this way. Back in the 70s, they didn't have that. You know why? Because there weren't cell phones. There weren't anything. It was all everything normal. It was picking up the house phone or a pay phone, whatever, making a call, dropping a letter, going and knocking on someone's door. It's not like what it is today where everything, like Stacy said, is all electronic savvy. Everyone lives electronic.
The biggest thing with that is, okay, you're bringing up the 70s. Back then, the computer systems that were in place took up massive storage.
Space.
You know,
you
had to have rooms just to do it. And they were predominantly hardwired. Now that everything's on Wi-Fi and it travels through the air, anybody, you know, if you know how to hack, you can snag anything you want.
Anybody's
off of.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a totally different ball game, and it's like, you know, when the computer age first came out, I always would like talk to my nieces and nephews, don't do this, don't do that. Now I say, look, have fun on the computer, but just remember, everything you do, somebody can see it. You know,
yep.
It's like keep that at the forefront. Do what you want, but just remember, everything you're doing is being monitored. At some point in time, they're going to be looking at it, you know, because that's what they do. And that's how
right.
I tell the nieces and nephews now. It's like, just mind your P's and Q's when you're on any type of internet
electronics, yeah. You know, I've done that with mine as well. It's like, you know, or even like on your phones, you know,
yeah.
I always tell them, uncheck that damn GPS crap, you know, because if you're posting photos or doing something, you have no idea who can reach out and see this.
But
it doesn't matter. It
yep,
doesn't
exactly.
matter what to do. If you don't
yep.
take second battery out of that phone, everything still works. Even though you
yep.
think you turned it off, it still works.
And
still track. They can still track down.
Yep.
That's crazy.
And my phone, I have an iPhone, and I don't care what y'all say about who's doing what with the iPhones. I love my iPhone. But it's
I don't know anything about them.
It's not like a Droid phone. An Android phone, you have the back piece you can take off, take the battery out, do whatever. The iPhone is a sealed unit. There's no taking no back
right.
piece off. There's no doing none of that. So whatever they've put in the phone, it's there, and you do not have access to it because if you try to rip out your phone, that's going to be it on your phone, you know. But it is what it is, you know. It's like I've just come to accept the fact that you don't have no privacy anymore, and that's it. And no matter what you do, where you go, you need to keep that at the forefront. Your actions can come back to haunt you later.
Haunt you.
There's always,
yeah.
Haunt
there's
you.
Always
haunt you tremendously.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
Well,
and,
that's if people are stupid enough to act like a jackass with their phones. You know, I mean, come on. Not everybody is out there, you know, example, saying that they're going to commit murder, putting threats out, whatever. You know, people don't get it. People don't get it. In this day and age, on everything being monitored and watched, people think that they're God's gift, I can do anything I want, nothing's going to happen. So there's a knock at the door one day and, hey, you did this? You know what I mean?
People do get away with it. The guy that's over in Russia that took all the CIA
Snowden.
Information. Yeah.
Snowden.
He did. He you know, that's exactly what he did. And there are people that know how to do that stuff, you know. So, and I've got mixed emotions with that guy, too, because, you know, if the United States was doing something predominantly wrong to its citizens, and if it wasn't to benefit its citizens, you know, I feel we should be informed about it.
Right.
But the way he did it was, that's coward. And, you know, as much as I'm against Governor Kerry, because he did such a piss-poor job here in Massachusetts, they had him on the local news this morning, and he was right with what he said. He's like, only a coward looks for refuge in countries like Russia and Cuba, and can't stand like a patriot and explain their actions. And it's true. You know, why, if what he was doing was so right, the way he advocates for himself, what I've done is so right, why did he seek refuge elsewhere? What he did was so right, he could have stood and blew the whistle right here in this country, got a high-priced lawyer, and fought it tooth and fucking nail and exposed everything, which would have been in his benefit. But to take
okay.
refuge in a country that we can't basically go in and say, hey, give us back our dude, we need to put him on trial, that is a coward. That, you know, that's you don't do that. If you're for the promotion to benefit people's well-being, you don't duck and run and seek refuge in a country that's, you know, untouchable. due to whatever.
I understand what you're saying, and, you know, and I get it, you know, but then there's probably the other side where that guy, where Snowden wanted to expose what was going on, but then look at the fear. Fear is going to make someone run, because why
he
went up against the government.
It don't matter. With every hero, there comes a tragedy. And he could have been, quote, unquote, some type of hero. He could have exposed all kinds of shit. Like me, if I would have done that, I would have stood right here. I would have stood my ground, ran my mouth, marched up and down, got, you know, because I'm sure lawyers would be asking me, hey, I'll represent you just for the publicity.
Right.
You know, because if they came out a winner, a mass of people are going to be like, hey, I want this attorney. You know,
right.
You know, if you're doing something to benefit, then you stand your ground. You don't duck and run, and that's what he did. So in my eyes, I don't give a shit what he has. He's a fucking coward. He's a coward, you know.
Right. Well, like I said, I get that, but then there was a guy after the September 11th attacks where he went in front of the government, went to go at the government, okay, because of what took place. And for them knowing what was coming, okay, he lost his house, he lost his family, he fought. He stayed here and he fought. But that's what I mean. Not every case is going to come out decent. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. I don't know the guy. Maybe he ran for a reason. Now they got a price tag on his head. So, you know,
was,
is that cool too? You know?
I think it was the Iran-Contra hearings, I think that's what they were called.
Yeah, Iran-Contra hearings. Right.
Where they had a military man telling McCain, because McCain was part of that panel, about Osama bin Laden, and they were laughing at him. I mean, they showed snippets of that whole trial, and, you know, they were laughing, oh, Osama bin Laden. You know, they were making fun, basically, and the guy was telling him, look, this dude is going to do some pretty dangerous shit if you don't stop him, and they didn't want to hear it. You know, so it's like at least he came forward and everybody got to hear and see, you know, what exactly that whole issue was about. But the fact of the matter that you've got one cocky yuppie sitting there in Russia acting like he's the cat's meow because he's done what he's done, and he's very cocky about it. He is. He's very cocky. The interviews they have, he just thinks he's above everything else. But I look at it like this, too. There ain't no way in hell that Russia would ever trust him ever, because if he did this here, he can do that there. So
anywhere.
By him thinking he's safe, I don't believe he is. I believe when the dust settles to this, Russia will get rid of him, because he's more of a liability than anything else, because he's extremely computer smart, you know, and...
Well, look at it this way. They got the KGB there. You know, so at some point he's going to be, he'll be on a platter someplace. It's just hard to say where it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to let the United States in there to get him, obviously. They're protecting him.
And especially, there's touchy subjects going on with that whole area, and now the president wants to pull everybody out from Afghanistan over the next couple of years, and it's funny because I was watching on the news that instead of just saying basically we fucked this up, we lost, you know, it's we're just going to let their government take over with the aid of other countries, but they so sugarcoated it, I got a good laugh out of it. I'm like, why can't you just say we lost, we went in there, yeah, we got out, you know, Saddam Hussein, we got out Osama bin Laden, but did we change anything that's going on over there? No.
No.
I think we've made a worse situation. When you mix religion and politics, it doesn't go, you know? And, I mean, it is what it is, and I think Muslim, and nothing against Muslim people, you know, but those type of areas are always going to be dangerous areas because they mix too much radicalness between religion and politics. They cross-contaminate the two. And at least, I mean, with this country, we don't. You get get these idiots that want to take "In God We Trust" off the dollar bill, and
right.
you know,
well,
the whole thing with taking stuff out of schools, and they've accomplished that. They have, but
Obama,
you know,
Obama went back to post-war foreign policies today.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a hot little subject sitting on the news on, like, almost every channel with different little things that are going on. And believe it or not, in the next couple of days, his wife will be here in Rhode Island. I just saw that on the news. I don't remember what day. But, and I think that's predominantly because we've got a lot larger Democrat society over here, you know, in the Massachusetts, Rhode Island area, because a couple of the presidents have come through here that were Democrats, you know, and it's strictly to keep the Democratic vote, obviously. But it is what it is.
Right. It's crazy. It's just all crazy. You know, there's so many people that want to come forward on things. Well, look at, Russia had no problem saying, yeah, we were over in Afghanistan. We were there for how long? And they weren't afraid to sit there and say, we lost. We couldn't do it.
Yeah, but you look at the Cold War, and they're still bitter with that.
They're
they
still
lost
going.
That.
I know.
And you know, you look at what they're doing now, and it's like, okay, we're going to have history repeat itself. You know, I mean, it's – I don't understand war, you know, and – That's for the people who can do that. But, you know, I just sit back sometimes and scratch my head, and I'm like, you know, what are they thinking? Is there a logic behind this somewhere, you know?
Right.
And I guess that's just not my decision to make.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's crazy. The way he's gonna do this, go back to the foreign policy. I don't know if it's gonna go. I mean, he said, "Yeah, we're gonna do it," but I don't know.
Well, I think at this point he's looking for votes. You know, or to be able to ride out of office with a semi-pat on the back, you know, because the way he's been in office.
I got news.
And whether
they put in legislation for a third term.
What?
Yep.
How can you even do that?
You do it.
Wouldn't that be
It could be an executive order. Be an executive order.
I don't know if that would fly too well. That would be like pushing the people. That would even alert the dumb people that something was wrong, you know? I don't know. Personally, I feel that a president needs to do two terms because it takes the first 4 years to pick up the mess from the previous president, and they've all made messes, every single fucking one of them. In order to see the job of the president, whether he's going to be good, bad, or indifferent, that usually falls into the second term, but taking it to a third term, I think it's just pushing the people beyond its limits. You know, I could understand, you know, a president coming into office and predominantly seeing, well, you know, we're going to do 8 years, and then we'll vote again in another 8 years. But to push it to three, that doesn't sit
you know,
well with me.
There's got to be something to change where there's only a certain limit, like maybe a 2-year limit. You know
there
what
is.
I mean?
It's two terms. A president technically is only allowed twice to run. They're only allowed to do two terms in office.
Right.
And Phil's talking about executive order, which that's all done behind closed doors.
Closed doors.
That's not an open vote. That would be basically keeping his ass in the seat it's in by his own penmanship. And
right.
See, that's what don't sit well with me.
Right.
And I feel that Congress, all the members in Congress, should only be allowed in there for 8 years, two terms, you know,
right.
Like the president. Because you got people that have been sitting there for years and years and years that ain't doing shit but falling asleep in their seat, you know, and I'm, they need to revamp that, but I don't agree with three terms for a president. I just don't, because that pushes it way, like, I mean, if this president could have been a predominantly better president, I think the only way we would have ever seen that is if we weren't at war. You know, and it's all the war stuff that makes foolish.
That's keeping his ass in there. Ugh.
Yeah, choices, you know, and that's where you see the stupidity come out in people.
Right.
So, you know, and I look back, too, with our own government. I look at, you know, all the documentation and stuff they have on Hitler. Hitler was just, like the Queen, a figure. And it was the people behind him telling him how to walk, talk. Writing
right.
his speeches, going to tell the people this, that, the other. How the fuck do we even know that's not what's going on in the White House? You know, we take all these presidents, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, and we crucify them for not being either a Republican or Democrat. But how in fuck, with all the shady shit our government's done, do we even know, are they actually in charge of all the shit they're signing, or is it people behind them saying, you have to do this, you have to do that? We don't even fucking know. Because
no.
thing is so hush-hush.
Hush-hush.
So you know, that's another reason why I don't usually talk politics, because I don't know anymore, you know. And it's like when I see all these people put up pictures of John F. Kennedy, whether it's around his birthday or the memorial of the shooting and stuff,
right.
I personally, I'm from the area where the Kennedys live. I think
right.
they've taken that to the far limits, because there's a lot of people now, the younger people, that don't even understand anything about the Kennedys' legacies. But because everybody's on the Kennedy bandwagon, you vote for them. And,
right.
you know, my grandmother was a prime example of that, you know, because she preached Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. And, you know, she always told us, kids, when you go into the voting booth, you just Democrat all the way down the line. And nowadays,
right.
you can't do that. I'm sorry. You know, you can be for one way or the other, but you really got to look at who's running, why they're running, what they want to change, what they want to do, what they have done. You can't
right.
just – it's impossible to lean one way or the other, because there's so much mishmash going on. You really got to do your research. And, you know, again, here we go with the ignorant society that don't want to educate themselves. They'd rather be on their Facebook, on their phone, versus sign on to the internet and maybe read a few things and you know, make sure the URLs are true to what they are, you know, and,
right.
and expand your mind a little bit. Nobody does that. It's the latest Facebook status. You know, every hour on the hour, I'm wiping my ass. I'm going to the doctors. I'm getting gas. And I just don't get it. It's like I had a
right.
conversation with my nephew the other day about the Kennedys, and I said to him, I said, what did John F. Kennedy do that you promote him so well? He couldn't answer it. And right there was the biggest wake-up call that New England people or Massachusetts, Rhode Island people, it's like you see the name Kennedy and you're like, oh, yeah. No, it doesn't work like that, you know. It,
right.
it just doesn't. And it makes people sound really foolish. Okay, maybe John F. Kennedy was a good president. I wasn't here. I only read what was in the book.
What was there,
what was,
right.
What was verbally told to me. So I
right.
can't tell you whether he was good, bad, or indifferent. I can tell you some of the things he did, you know, but I can't tell you if it affected me or not. I wasn't born, you know.
Well,
so.
See, that's the whole bottom line, you know, and that's the difference between the genres of people, okay?
Yeah.
So if you were 25 years old, when Kennedy was placed in the office, then you would understand and
yep.
get where he was at that time. But because
well,
you weren't, you're going by, quote, media, whether it be
yep.
newspaper, if they were doing a documentary on, you know, an anniversary of his death or something like that. That's what you're going by, other people's opinions. You couldn't
yeah,
make
and then
yourself.
And then let's not forget, you know, his murder, his assassination, all the documentation's been blacked out. I mean, they've shown
exactly.
You know, so
and
what exactly happened? We're never going to know. Well,
right.
it will come out.
Well,
it will, It will come out after all the people from that time are dead.
Are dead.
There's nobody
because
to talk about the possibility
recall,
of seeing something else.
Exactly. Because if you recall, back in the day, they stated, it was stated someplace after, 30 years, 40 years or something of his death,
that they would release
the
documentation.
Would be open. Okay.
Yep.
Nothing has been open yet. What the hell is a holdup? Hello?
Oh, it's open, but it's all blackened out. It's like somebody took a Sharpie marker and just deleted line after line, left a few paragraphs.
Well,
saying
is, supposedly, they were going to come out at some point and say the truth. Okay,
yeah.
Where is it? Because you can't read a black line.
Yep, it's just ridiculous, you know.
Okay,
like
let's look at it this way. Where I grew up, I was kitty corner from Jimmy Hoffa's sister, okay?
Right.
Now, mind you, whatever he did, put him someplace. And how many years or decades have they gone, this person knows where Hoffa's body is, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Now, I remember as a little girl seeing this man coming in his caddies. I mean, they were sharp, you know. But where is he? Everybody
shock
from
bait.
from that point is gone.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. And this is what, you know, here we go back with Kennedy. The same scenario. Well, look at Martin Luther King. There's one person from this area that was there the day he was murdered. That was Jesse Jackson, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, he was there. He knows. But
well, that's just like the young kids running around with Malcolm X shirts on. And it cracks me up because when you see a Caucasian with a Malcolm X shirt on, if you stop and ask them, why, what is the theory behind the shirt? Why are you wearing it? They can't answer you. It's because...
No, or you'll get, he was awesome or he was amazing. Okay, well, how is he awesome
and
amazing?
Well, that's the thing. He was a bigot and a racist towards Caucasian people. He was exactly what African Americans say Caucasians are. So, you know, when you see a 14-year-old with a Malcolm X shirt on, you know, you should stop that. Why are you wearing that shirt? What is the theory behind it? What is your logic behind it? You know, what are your stands on his views? They can't answer it. And that's what I mean about society being ignorant. They just, like sheep, my lesson on sheep, they just go with the flow. You know, whatever they hear, that's okay. That's what we're going to do.
Like I said, I understand exactly. There is a 13-year-old girl that was doing a book report in regards with Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King, Kennedy, anything of that, you can pull up anywhere. I still have, like, from what my grandma said, the old newspapers, you know, with the front page lines and everything else. And, you know, she's, I'm going to write on Martin Luther King. What do you know about him? And then she went into this little spiel, and I'm like, how do you know that's what he did? Well, because this is where I read it. I said, well, how do you know that's accurate?
Yep.
Were you there? Were you alive then? No, you were not. So you're making your opinion. You're going to make this paper in regards to what? Media.
Right. Exactly it.
And you know, but it like you said, when you ask a child, you know, they have no clue.
Nope. No, they don't. Absolutely not. You're absolutely right. Like my son, he associates Martin Luther King with the woman on the bus that refused to sit in the back of the bus.
Right, because that's how it was, and the cars had to sit in the back, and the whites could sit in the front.
Right, but that's what he associates Martin Luther King with, and I've sat him down many times and told him, you know, yeah, they were for the same, you know, for your rights, for civil rights, but, you know, two totally different scenarios. But the way the school department teaches things and pushes all these things into one small circle, it's confusing the younger generation, you know.
Oh,
and
exactly.
Now that we have, you know, MCAS and NECAPs and all that other baloney where it says, you know, we no longer need to teach about the Constitution and, you know, the reasons why it was founded, we just learn the general bullshit, they're not learning right. They're totally not learning right. And the positive and the negative things that all these people that we brought up, from the Kennedys to Malcolm X to Martin Luther King to the president today, they're not understanding the good and the bad. They're jumbling it up into one ball of paper and making what they see fit as reality. And it just, politics are never going to get to where we need them to be as long as the younger generations are, you know, coming up more and more ignorant, and they're more and more medicated, and they're more and more, you know, Facebook seems to be the foundation for, you know, all truths, which half of the things that
Facebook are ridiculous.
I'm going to tell you how ignorant a lot of the people are on Facebook. There's plenty that aren't, believe me, that, you know, but there's a majority that are. There was a post going around about onions. If you use an onion and you wrap it back up and you use it the next day, it's toxic.
No, it's a bacteria, right.
It's totally untrue. Totally untrue. Right. How could you freeze onions? How could you do a lot of the things that you do with onions? You know, it doesn't any type of toxic mess whatsoever. The scent to it gets a little bit stronger. But, you know, and everybody was jumping on that, you know, when you cut an onion, throw away the half, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how stupid can people be? People are buying frozen onions and peppers, and people are doing, you know, you're buying different products that have onion. Like, you can get organic salsa that's got shelf life in the refrigeration department in any grocery store for 7 days. That's chopped up onions sitting for 7 days. They can't sell it to you if it had all these deadly toxins that people were jumping on. And it's silly. But if something like an onion is going to create a mass hysteria, think about the thought train of the majority of the people, you know, that are walking around in this country. And
in the state, like they're in the cloud, and you can't shake them out of it.
Yep, and, you know, that's not going to change until, you know, politics change. And politics are not going to change with the way these younger folks are being brought up. It's just not going to happen. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And, you know, I hope when the shit breaks loose, I'm not here to see it because I want nothing to do with it. I'd be running to the mountains.
I know. But you know what? Who knows if and when it will take place, you know, in regards to martial law or anything else, because, you know, there's already military vehicles here, you know, and stuff like that. And there are in other states as well, and other people are coming across, you know, like the large amounts, or they've seen the large amounts of casket build up, you know, or stockpile, however you might phrase it. And, you know, there are certain areas where buildings, you know, that are, I don't know, where it looks like they're going to house people, you know, who knows? Who knows? Can we?
Well, it's just like the zombie paper that I brought up a couple of weeks ago that, the government has in play for, like, vegetarian zombies and different things like that, what to do, blah, 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 blah. And like we all discussed, it predominantly leads towards the, you know, opiate-addicted society we've got. And like I've said before, you know, the city Fall River, where I dwell in, you know, they did the statistics. It made headlines, you know, clear across the country one in every three people strung out on opiates in Fall River, and you see them walking around, and it's like watching The Walking Dead,
right.
Because they're skinny, their eyes are coming out of their freaking head, they're paranoid, you know, they walk like zombies, and, you know, it's just ridiculous.
This homeless lady did that today. I got done fixing a lawnmower. Guy came to pick it up. This homeless lady was walking down the sidewalk. I swear to God, no facial expression whatsoever. Just like, you know, kind of like a blind, like a deer blind by the headlights. And, you know, she just said for a second, you have a cigarette? No. And, you know, I'm like, what? And just, this lady was just wandering around aimlessly, like, no clue whatsoever.
I was pumping gas this morning, and there was a woman that came in. She had to weigh about 90 pounds, maybe 100 tops, and she was strung out. That, you know, I was thinking crack, crank, but what was really coming to my mind was meth, because she had all the predominant signs. And what was crazy was she came on the side of my car. Now my gas tank's on the driver's side, so I'm right up against the pump, and I'm pumping gas. Now, she walked passenger side. Now, I'm out pumping gas. My purse is sitting in the front seat of the car. And she got real close to my car, and I'm watching her, and I hit the alarm. Think the door's locked. And she looked at me and smiled and walked back and forth in the parking lot. And then as I was pulling out, she wandered inside. Now, I think if I would have turned my back for 5 seconds, she would have opened up that door and tried to make way with my purse. I was convinced of it because she came too close and she was too shady. I didn't know. And she just had that fucking look. But it was funny how she smiled at me when I hit the alarm. It's like, bitch, I know what you're fucking up to. And, you know, I know two people right now who both collect disability checks, and this is what burns in me. Both collect disability checks. They lost their apartment due to opiate addiction. They do perks, Vicks, oxys, heroin. They mix it with crack, crank, coke. They're speedballing. They get their checks the first of the month. They're broke within the first 7 days because they've blown it all on drugs. And they're living in their car and stealing and hustling and everything else for the next 3 weeks of the month. And this is a married couple that I've known for the last 20 years. And within the last five, they went from working, having their kids, having a good life, to nothing. Absolutely nothing but the vehicle they ride around in. All because of addiction. And, you know, that's where I think some lines should be drawn, you know, because they both have done time for those type of drugs and other things, and I think that's where, you know, stuff should be looked at. Well, you're getting a government check, and technically you can't be a felon, and technically you can't do this, that, and the other. You know, I think they really need to take a look at that and see how many people are, you know, sitting back, getting a check, and doing that. There are plenty of people that are, you know, collecting checks, and they need to.
And that
you
need
know,
it,
they're,
right.
They're sick or
whatever. And then
whatever.
There's ones that are abusing the system. So
right.
They could still remain the addict that they are.
Yep, exactly. And that's what really burns in me, you know. It's the people that really need it, and it was set up for people
that
needed
really
it.
Need
and,
it. Right.
Yep, and these addicts, they're, you know, screaming addiction, depression, anxiety, blah, blah, blah. Okay, here's a check. Now you've just given them the cash they need to continue their addiction instead of saying, you know what, go to a year's worth of rehab, drop a year's worth of clean urines or blood work or whatever, and then we'll talk about if you're still disabled, you know?
Right.
They don't do that, and that's, I don't understand that logic neither, but then again, if the higher-ups keep everybody doped up on antidepressants, anti-anxieties, mood stabilizers, ADHD medication, et cetera, You got a dumb society because all they're looking for is their fix, you know? It's pretty pathetic when a parent takes their child's medication for their fix, you know? I just... Sad. It's sad when an animal takes better care of the children than people do, you know? It just... Yeah. I don't get that. Not at all.
I never will. Because what I'm looking at is, you know, and this has always been a bitch. I don't care if it's state help. I don't care if it's disability. I don't care if it's military benefits. Okay? We're going to toss it all in here. How can a fucking addict get shit when people that really need it can't get it? That, like with you, it burns me insane. It's hard enough for vets to get their benefits because they have to wait. They have to fight. They have to do a shitload of paperwork and beyond and still keep going and trying to get from one day to the next while waiting to get some kind of help from the VA. But yet a crazy-ass addict motherfucker can walk into a VA and they get it taken care of right then and there. What the fuck is up with that?
Well, that's you know, that's half right, I think, because, you know, a lot of the people, you know, you have to be military to get in a VA, and I think that because
right,
of all the
bullshit.
Right,
but what I mean is there are some vets, okay, that are really strung out. I mean, really seriously strung out.
Well, again, you got to look at what did they do during their time of service? Was the post-traumatic stress or depression or anxiety, whatever they experienced, was it addressed?
Right.
Were they given help? You know, and that's the failure with the whole VA. They shouldn't be vets walking around like that. Their issues or whatever they saw, experienced, whatever, should have been taken care of, should have been addressed right away, should have been helped right away. And they don't. They would rather, you know, they're trying to hide that, you know, they've experienced some major stuff and they turn to a chemical or the bottle or whatever, and instead of giving them the therapy help that they need, they don't. They just basically roll them out the door, you know.
And I agree with that. That's
big failure, you know, there. Because anybody that's in the military, whether you see war or not, should be given top-notch, you know, when they're done, do you need this? Do you need that? Are you okay? Do you need therapy? Do you, you know, they should be given that opportunity, but they're not. They're not.
No, I understand that, but there are some vets that do not need it, but fake it so they can get it.
Not so much
the benefits. I'm not talking about the benefits. I'm talking about, like, in regards to ones that haven't seen combat at all. Okay?
Wait. You're talking about some you don't have a fucking clue on what's going on. Okay? Everybody that's been in the military is automatically qualified to VA benefits. Doesn't matter whether you've seen combat, stubbed your toe in the barracks, and they cut it off. It doesn't matter. If you were on active duty, you get... My daughter isn't.
My daughter is not. And
why not? She's in the Guard, right?
She's the Army National Guard, or whatever it is?
They have a different thing, and she won't qualify for any benefits till she hits 62.
Yeah, because I know she doesn't qualify. You know, one of the reasons why she went into the military was to help with college, and what she found out afterwards, you know, after a year into it, that being reserve or National Guard, which is considered part-time, you don't qualify for no VA loans or school help or anything like that. You have to be full-time active
because
military
they lied
to qualify for that stuff.
I hear those all the time. They lied to her.
Yep.
I had a friend of mine the other day call me up and said his kid's getting discharged, and he doesn't know why. And then when I talked to his kid, it's because he had asthma, and when he went to qualify with the gas mask, he almost died because the recruiter told him not to say nothing if he wanted to get in. Okay?
Oh, that's terrible.
Good time.
And before you jump me, Phil, I was going to tell you that that was someone that told me that, so I wasn't quoting something that came from me. I was going to tell you that this was something that was said to me, so I didn't know. There are certain things I do know, but there's other things I don't.
That person, I said they're full of shit.
I agree. Like I said, I watched my stepdad go through things. You know,
if you agree, Nora, you shouldn't be repeating stuff like that. If you agree with me, you shouldn't repeat stuff like that until you check it out, which means you should ask somebody that knows.
You're right. But I also watched my stepdad go through shit that was beyond unbelievable, and nobody would even fucking help him until he shot himself and they fucking buried him in the military cemetery. Yeah, I saw a lot. I'm not stupid.
I didn't say, like I said,
I was only saying what someone that was in the military had stated to me that he saw, and I'm like, well,
That's it. I'm not going to argue with her, okay? I'm not going to argue with her. I didn't call her stupid. And I'm going to, Stacey, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to, I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Good night.
Done, cause I'm getting a headache.
Thank you.